Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. I'm Alex, and I'm here with my co-host Jordan to dive into Costco's third quarter 2026 results. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone that this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Thanks, Alex. And what a quarter to analyze. Costco just delivered some pretty impressive numbers amid what they're calling macro uncertainty. The headline numbers are solid. $69.2 billion in net sales, up 11.6% year over year, and earnings per share of $4.93, up 15% from last year's $4.28.
Those are strong top and bottom line results, but Jordan, what really caught my attention was the gas business story. CEO Ron Vacaris mentioned they hit successive all-time company volume sales records in all three four-week periods of the quarter. That's pretty remarkable.
Absolutely. And here's what's fascinating about that gas story. It wasn't just about higher prices driving revenue. They actually saw record-breaking volumes because members were flocking to Costco gas stations as Middle East tensions drove up gas prices everywhere else. Vacaris mentioned that the high consumer price sensitivity drove many members to use their gas stations for the very first time in third quarter.
That's a great point about customer acquisition through gas. And speaking of members, let's talk about the membership business, which is really Costco's secret sauce. They reported membership fee income of $1.37 billion, up 10.7% year over year. Jordan, what stood out to you in the membership metrics?
Two things really jumped out. First, they now have 41.2 million paid executive memberships. That's up 9.6% versus last year. Executive members are their higher spending, more loyal customers. Second, they launched the executive program in China this quarter and saw strong early adoption that exceeded expectations. That's a huge market opportunity.
The renewal rates are holding steady too, 92.2% in the US and Canada, which is incredibly strong. But let's dig into the financial performance a bit. The gross margin story is interesting here. Overall, gross margin was down 21 basis points, but excluding gas inflation, it was actually up 1 basis point.
Right, and CFO Gary Millerchip was pretty clear that they intentionally invested in lower prices for members on everyday items like eggs and beef during the quarter. This is classic Costco. When they have the capacity to invest in member value, they do it. They're always trying to be first to lower prices and last to raise them, as Vacaris put it.
That pricing philosophy really showed up in their digital business too. Digitally enabled comparable sales were up 21.5%. That's significantly outpacing their overall comp growth of 9.8%. What's driving that digital momentum?
A few key things. Their same-day delivery service is now averaging less than 45 minutes in the U.S. with a 4.8 out of 5 member satisfaction rating. They've expanded same-day delivery to Spain and France. And here's something really forward-looking. They're starting to leverage AI to enhance their product pages online, which is increasing their relevance with large language models.
That AI piece is fascinating. Millerchip mentioned they saw triple-digit growth in traffic from AI search, even though the volume is still low. But get this, that AI-driven traffic had the highest conversion rate of all traffic coming to their site.
That makes total sense when you think about it. Costco's value proposition, quality products at great prices with services like installation included, that story gets told much better through AI search than traditional search. Ron Vacaris gave a great example about appliances, where their all-in pricing includes delivery and installation, which AI can explain comprehensively.
Let's talk about some of the category performance. Fresh foods were up in the high single digits, led by meat and bakery. Non-foods also up high single digits, with strength in gold and jewelry, small electrics, and, interestingly, wellness items like saunas and massage chairs saw almost 50% sales growth.
That wellness trend ties into something else they mentioned, the impact of GLP-1 drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy. Their pharmacy business is seeing significant market share gains partly due to including these drugs in their member prescription program. And they're seeing strong demand for protein-focused products as a result,
The international expansion story is also compelling. During the Q&A, Vacris outlined their pipeline, continued strong growth potential in Canada for the next 5 years, significant opportunities in China, Korea, and Japan in Asia, and they're still very young in France, with growth coming in Spain and the UK.
Looking at the challenges, they're dealing with some inflationary pressures, particularly from higher resin costs that will flow into non-food categories. But they're also expecting tariff refunds from Section 301 tariffs, which they plan to return to members in some form.
The traffic and ticket story is interesting too. Traffic was up 2.4%, while average transaction size was up 7.3%. That suggests members are buying more per visit, which could reflect both the higher gas prices and their strategy of offering larger pack sizes and premium items.
And let's not forget about capital allocation. They've got about $45 in cash per share, and while they didn't announce a special dividend, Miller Chip made it clear they're evaluating options. Their priority remains investing in growth. They're targeting 30-plus net new warehouse openings per year and expect about $6.5 billion in CapEx this fiscal year.
Before we wrap up, what's your take on the competitive positioning here? They seem to be executing well in a challenging environment.
I think their membership model continues to provide a real competitive moat. When you look at the gas business driving loyalty, the executive membership growth, and their ability to invest in member value when competitors might be raising prices, it's a differentiated strategy. The AI and digital investments seem well-positioned for the future too.
Absolutely. The combination of physical and digital engagement, plus that membership loyalty loop, seems to be working well. The international expansion opportunity is still significant, and their ability to maintain pricing authority while investing in member value is impressive.
One final reminder for our listeners: everything we've discussed today is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence and consult with qualified professionals before making any investment decisions.
Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch. We'll be back with more AI-powered earnings analysis soon. Until next time, keep those portfolios diversified and those research skills sharp.
See you next time.
That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.